The Nationals announced the starting pitcher for the start of the season. And what is the future of Zach Davies on the Nationals? And where does Trey Lipsicum fit into the master plan of the Nationals? I'll discuss next on this edition of the Talk Nats podcast. Well, hello and welcome in to this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm so glad you decided to join me today. As always, this podcast is free and available on all the major platforms. My name is Dan Holme. You can find me on Twitter. It's at DanCaps218. You can find the show on Twitter. It's at Talk Nats. The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there in odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or mobile device and even track your bracket real time all the way through the tournament. Head to Bet Online today and get in on all the action. And remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's promo code BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. So in this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, baseball is coming, and the Nationals have formally announced who is going to be the pitcher on opening day. It might not be who you'd expect, or maybe it's exactly who you'd expected. I'll talk about that in the show a little bit later. We will talk about the questions surrounding the Nationals pitching staff in general. Where do all the different players fit in, most notably Zach Davies? And then to close out the show, I will talk about where Trey Lipsicum fits into the Nationals' master plans. But it was formally announced here recently. I do this show a couple times a week, so it's not exactly breaking news, but the Nationals did announce who the pitcher is going to be starting for the Nats on opening day, in quite a nod and a bit, you know, of a pat on the back for an accomplishment for a young guy that has put in the work and it's paying off for him. But talking about the Nationals did announce their opening game starter, and it might not be who you'd expect. Many had predicted that it would be Patrick Corbin as doing the easy thing and giving the Nats, the veteran starter, the nod. I think that would be lackluster. I think that would be predictable. And ultimately, I don't think that would have been the right idea for the Nats. But Corbin will get the start in game number two. This year will be different. Davey Martinez made his decision and vote of confidence by selecting Josiah Gray, a huge moment for one of the Nationals' key starters in the rotation. A big moment for Josiah Gray, and we've seen the evolution of Josiah Gray. We've seen him kind of form into one of the better pitchers in the starting rotation for the Nats, a guy that was an all-star last season, but to be fair and an accurate assessor of who he is, has struggled at times, but I think he put the work in the offseason, refining his pitches, working on new pitches, a really, you know, tip of the hat to the hard work Josiah Gray has put in. Josiah Gray first pitched in big league camp in the spring of 2020 as a 22-year-old prospect with the Dodgers, who made it through only three appearances before he was sent down to the minors. So this was a guy that faced setbacks, you know, kind of right out of the gate in his career playing in Major League Baseball. This will be a big game for Gray for multiple reasons. One of those reasons will be he'll be facing the team that drafted him, the Reds, out of Lemoyne College in 2018, but dealt him to the Dodgers later that year. He came to the Nats in July 2021 as part of the return for Scherzer and Trey Turner. And that was one of the moves that I recollect as a Nationals fan. I'm like, no, please don't send Max Scherzer and Trey Turner out to the Dodgers. You know, this team, you know, we were still kind of in it. You know, they won the World Series in 2019, and it seemed it's like such a crushing blow at the moment. Like, this was a team that was just, you know, abandoning hope and giving up on the team. But ultimately, we are seeing the fruits of that move pay dividends for the Nationals, and a big move as Josiah Gray figures to be part of that. He'll be the first opening day starter for the Nationals not named Corbin, Max Scherzer, or Steven Strasburg since 2019. 11. So it has been quite some time. And to emphasize the impact of this, and Gray should really take this as a vote of confidence that he was named to be the pitcher on opening day. Quite an accomplishment, but all things considered, I believe that he is deserving of it. Gray reflected about that moment and how far he has come in that time. He said, progress is probably the first word that comes to mind because of how I've progressed through the league. And in the short amount of time I've been a major leaguer, Gray said, I just remember my first big league camp being with the Dodgers and getting cut and thinking how that feeling was. And to say you're going to be our first arm of the spring training going into the season is really, really surreal. So he is going to be, as we transition from spring training into regular season baseball, that he gets the baseball on the opening night. Quite a vote of confidence and just a really great moment for him. Gray figures to be one of the keys in the Nationals starting rotation, but most likely not the number one in the rotation. What do I mean by that? The top starters figure to be Mackenzie Gore, who could start April 1st, the home opener against the Pirates, or Cade Cavalli, who is entering the final stages of rehab from Tommy John. I agree with that assessment to a certain extent. However, I do think that, you know, I don't want to sell Josiah Gray short. I do think that there is the possibility that, in fact, he could be one of the key, maybe the number one starter in the rotation. I know the pedigree, and we take a look at the history. We take a look at Mackenzie Gore. We look at Cade Cavalli. On paper, they appear to be the no-brainer. But will that be the case? I guess time will tell. It was a tough decision for Martinez, and ultimately he wanted to see what kind of spring Gray had before making his decision. A tough decision, to be sure, as we have seen ups and downs in Josiah Gray's career. He didn't want to go ahead and anoint him, I guess you could say, as the opening night starter if for some reason he fell flat. Martinez said he's matured so much since the first day I saw him, even through the struggles of last year. He's a lot different coming into camp. He's been so much different as far as growth-wise, understanding who he is, working on things he needs to work on, not trying to reinvent the wheel. He knows he needs to go out there and attack and throw strikes, because why? It doesn't matter how fast you throw ball number four, as was the motto put out there by Mike Rizzo. But I do think that it's going to be interesting to see what he has in the tank. And, you know, I think that we can kind of use the first game of the season as a litmus test to see what he has in the tank. I don't want to say if he has a poor outing for whatever reason that it wasn't the right idea, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he has in the tank. He's been a lot different this spring. I'm so proud of him, Martinez said. As the Nats get further from the magical 2019 World Series season, the Nats are looking to turn the page and usher in the new youth movement, for the Nationals. You know, you see that in a lot of sports. I cover the Capitals for Locked On Capitals, and there is the reluctance to make change. And the Nationals actually made that change before the Capitals did, just seeing that they weren't going to be able to bring back a lot of those players and understanding that change is what is needed. And, you know, at the time, like I talked about, it was difficult when you saw, you know, Juan Soto and Josh Bell and Trey Turner and Max Scherzer get dealt, but we're starting to see the fruits of those tough decisions bloom, and the Nationals are bearing the you know what is good coming from that. So just a really kind of cool moment for the Nationals to see, you know, tough moves that were made at the time finally pay off. To me, for a young kid, it's a big deal. Martinez said, hopefully he goes out there. I know he's welcomed it, and he's excited about it, and he goes out there and competes, and we're trying to go 1-0 that day. Just like FP Santangelo used to say, try and go 1-0 every day. And that's the right attitude, ultimately, isn't it? That you don't want to, you know, project and see where this team is going to be a month from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now. Concentrate on the task at hand in trying to go 1-0. It's been quite the career already for Gray, who was an all-star last season. Getting named to the all-star game was something I can say, again, I never expected. But then to get the opening day nod, it shows the trust and the level of support I have from Davey, the front office, and everyone, that I've made progress from where I was in 2021 as a rookie to where we are in 2024. I'm really just looking forward to continuing the progress. And ultimately, I think that is all we can hope for. is that he goes out there and kills it. I really hope that that is the case, that he just kind of proves to everyone that, Davey Martinez and the Nationals made the right decision by going all in on a guy who I perceive right now to be one of the pillars of the starting rotation for the Nats. All right, so coming up here after the break, we will talk about the future of Zach Davies on the Nationals. We know he signed a minor league deal, but we also know that the Nationals need depth. Where does he fit in? I'll discuss coming up. The official sponsor of the Talk Nats podcast is SeatGeek. Take $20 off your first ticket purchase when you use promo code MINUTECAST at SeatGeek.com. That's promo code MINUTECAST for $20 off your first ticket purchase. Yes, that works for Nationals. That works for Caps, Wizards, music, comedy, and theater, so much more. $20 off at SeatGeek.com. We're also brought to you by Righteous Felon Beef Jerky. Now, it's not often that I would refer to beef jerky as delicious, but I will in this case. High in protein, low in fat, all in delicious. Take 15% off when you use promo code MINUTECAST. Just go over to the show description and type the link for Righteous Felon Beef Jerky. Enter in promo code MINUTECAST and save 15%. And finally, our show is brought to you by HairClub.com. Live your best hair life. And you can do that with the confidence that the fine folks over at HairClub.com provide. Listen, if you are a single man out there and you're hiding behind a hat and say you don't have any hair and you're trying to find a new lady in your life, get that with the confidence that the folks over at HairClub.com can provide. All right, welcome back into this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm so glad you decided to join me today. So questions still do remain on the Nationals. Who's going to be here? I think that, to a certain extent, we have certain players penciled in here and there. So I'm going to give you my thoughts and also the thoughts of the guys over at Talk Nats. I will post the link for this story in the show description, talking about in this next segment here, Zach Davies and where he figures in. So the starting rotation is pretty much set except for that fifth starting spot. Zach Davies was looking for a way to break camp with the team and make the opening game roster. Well, that was until the last game when the train fell off the tracks. A rough outing for Zach Davies, and we know that the Nationals still have question marks about ultimately who is going to be on the team. And I think that, I talked about earlier about certain pitchers that I think haven't nailed it down, but there still are outsiders that are looking for their opportunities, and Zach Davies is one of those. Davies fell apart in the fourth inning, giving up 7 runs and 9 in the game to push his spring training ERA to 9.00. Davies appeared to have the fifth spot on the rotation on lock until his last outing. Davies says, "I was extremely pleased with everything except the last inning that I pitched." Zach Davies, it's unfortunate being in that position, your last start of spring training, and you don't really have any more chances to show what you have. All I can be prepared for is whatever is next. And it's going to be difficult to see if there's any path for him to this team. But one of the things that I know for sure is that the Nationals are looking for depth. The guys that are on this team, they don't have anything on lock. We don't know what kind of, pitchers these guys are. I talked about Josiah Gray, Cade Cavalli, Mackenzie Gore, those kind of pitchers that on paper, they appear to be knockouts. Patrick Corbin. We've seen glimpses, peaks of greatness, if you will, but I think the Nationals would be best served to have needed depth. It's going to be difficult. I know that there's a lot of positions that need to get moved out, but Martinez wasn't so quick to pass on judgment. It's really hard to judge a guy like him based on one outing, and I'm not going to do it, manager Davey Martinez said. We've got some tough decisions to make. He's a professional. And he is a professional. He understands what's at stake. He knows that he signed a minor league deal with this team that gives the Nationals some flexibility. It gives Davies some flexibilities as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. A thing to remember that Davies is signed to a minor league deal and a lot of his future will be up to Rizzo. The Nats do need pitching depth, but just any pitcher won't do. The only question is any negotiated opt-outs in his deal. This is ultimately a Rizzo decision and what Davies decides to do about it. So will he ultimately figure into the master plans? As I record this at 2:43 Eastern time on Thursday here today, there is no word on him, but it's going to be tough decisions, as I think that, you know, the pieces are still trying to come together. There's still a lot of question marks about who is going to break the opening night roster, that kind of thing. But that's the one thing I know. I know that about covering hockey. I know about covering football and baseball, that you need depth. So maybe there is an opportunity that they could have him down in the minors, maybe call him up at some point if needed. But just based on his last outing, despite what Davey Martinez said, it would be kind of surprising, I guess, if he breaks camp with his team, but I guess stranger things have happened. All right, so coming up here after the break, we will talk about where does Trey Lipsicum fit into the Nationals' master plan. He seems to be a front runner for breaking camp with his team, but will he do it? I'll discuss straight ahead. All right, welcome back into this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Believe podcast work and simulcast on the Believe and Nationals podcast feed, talking about movement surrounding your Nationals, questions, maybes, concerns about who is going to be where and ultimately who is going to break camp with this team. Listen, oftentimes when we talk about premier talent on this team, and guys that stand the best chance of breaking camp with this team, we think of James Wood. That is someone for me that I think is just a no-brainer, but it's a little bit more complicated for James Wood and maybe not as complicated here for Trey Lipsicum. Trey keeps making a case for himself to break camp with the team, but ready. Sometimes how a player performs in the minor doesn't always translate to the majors under the big lights. Rizzo did say that the door is open. They have to kick the door down and force us to put them on the team. GM Mike Rizzo said a top prospect would have to do in order to make the opening day roster. Again, this piece was in TalkNats.com that, you know, he has made a case for himself, but would you say that he has played better than James Wood has? I guess no, but it gets complicated in the outfield and a path for securing a spot, finding a position. Trey also got praise from the owner of the team, Mark Lerner. "I've especially enjoyed watching him," in quotes, he said. And if Trey was hoping to stand out, he did just that. He was a triple shy of a cycle, completing the other three quarters of that feat. So that was a big evening for Trey and making a case, you know, that there is a lot of questions, most notably at second base. Does Garcia have that lockdown? Not necessarily. What's going to be the case at first base? Is Senzel going to be the everyday third baseman? I think that, you know, even though we are getting closer and closer to the start of the season, there are still quite a few questions. And it's not just his offensive prowess. Speaking of Trey, he's great defensively as well. He was the only Gold Glove third baseman in all of minor leagues last season. So, you know, I can see why it would be tempting to want to keep him on the team, that we know that there are some questions that this year's Nationals team probably isn't going to be one of the better ones defensively speaking, at least in the infield, I'm going to say. I think there are certain things, like I think CJ Abrams, he has that on lock. I don't think he needs to worry about someone scooping in and taking his job, but there are other questions about some of the other positions out there. And the good thing about Trey is he can play every infield position and outfield position. He adds value if you believe he could be successful at the MLB level. I guess ultimately that is the question. The question is, will it translate? Will his current 372 batting average, 973 OPS come close to translating? A lesson from last year, talking about Alex Call slashed 321, 403, 464 in 56 at-bats with an 867 OPS, and in the regular season was a very pedestrian, hitting 200 with a 614 OPS for the Washington Nationals. Call stats are just caution to the wind, not an indictment of Trey Lipsicum. So, you know, to say that everything is a rubber stamp, a carbon copy, that everything will be exactly the way it has been in the past, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that sometimes you can't put too much weight into how a player plays in spring training. I think that, you know, if obviously You know, being in the previous segment, I talked about that Zach Davies could potentially get cut by the team for how he played in the preseason. That I'm not saying that there's no impact. What I'm saying is that oftentimes, or at least part of the time, it doesn't necessarily translate to the majors or playing on the big team. But what does Martinez think? He says, I think he's good enough to play here every day from what we've been seeing in spring training. And from what I know about him and saw in the fall league, he's pretty, pretty good. So that is Davey Martinez's vote of confidence for Trey Lipscomb. So why Lipscomb and not Wood? Well, Wood has been the best prospect for the Nats, but he doesn't play a position in need. It gets complicated. When Eddie Rosario was signed into the deep outfield, that could send Jacob Young to AAA. It almost looks certain that the four outfielders are Rosario, Jesse Winker, Victor Robles, and Lane Thomas. And the last thing that you would want is James Wood to be a bench player. I think that that would be the dumbest decision, and they wouldn't make that decision, but that if he is going to, in fact, be on the big team, he is going to have a position right out of the gate. And, you know, the difficult thing is, you know, just the players that I rattled off there. I talked about Jesse Winker. I talked about Victor Robles and Lane Thomas. Am I going to say that James Wood, at least what we've seen in spring training, is better than those players? Yes. But ultimately, there's these certain rules that are adhered to that, you know, you don't necessarily want to rush players into certain things. But I do think that if James Wood does not break, doesn't break camp with this team in the spring, he will find a spot on this team at some point. But you can see how it is a little bit of an easier thing to see Trey Lipscomb find a spot on this team. Trey has minor league options, and that could work against him. Lipscomb's fortuitous bounce is Nick Senzel's past history, Luis Garcia's inconsistencies on offense and defense, and the fact that Ildemaro Vargas is expendable. And then you factor in even Rule 5 draftee Nazem Nunez is not guaranteed to make the roster. So you do see where it gets complicated for Wood, and it's, you can see a path to victory, shall we say, for a guy like Lipscomb. So an interesting position for Trey. Ultimately, he could find a spot on the opening day roster. And there are a lot of questions. Listen, they signed Nick Senzel because he can play multiple positions in the infield, but a Band-Aid. We know that Brady House is the long-term solution. You take a look at Luis Garcia. Does he have a lock on opening night roster at second base? I really don't think so, based on his inconsistent play. And you factor in Davey Martinez that referenced one of his plays out on the field as dumb. It's never a good feeling that when you're playing at a professional level and your manager says you did something that was dumb. So an interesting position for Luis Garcia, and he does appear to be, you know, kind of in Davey Martinez's doghouse. He needs to prove that he is deserving of getting a uniform on a night in and night out basis. Again, you take a look at Ildemaro Vargas. You know, if I want to reflect back to last season, I think a good utility player, I think a good guy off the bench, but probably not the kind of guy that you're going to want to play at third base or a position like that or second base every night for every game. I just don't think that is the right case. And then you take a look at even Rule 5 draftee Nazem Nunez, and he's an outsider looking in. So a lot of questions remain. So it's ultimately up to contract status that often determines a final roster. Opening day is 1 week from today in Cincinnati for the Nats. Decisions are on Rizzo to figure it all out with input from the front office and Davey Martinez. Again, this piece in Talk Nats. Make sure and check those guys out at Talk Nats. But that is the latest for the Nationals. A lot of questions still remain for this team about who is going to be in, who is going to be out, and what is the master plan going forward. Is it possible that Trey Lipscomb makes the team? Absolutely. What are my thoughts on James Wood? Probably not. Just knee-jerk reaction. Hit me in the knee. Probably not going to break camp with the team. Zach Davies, I think that the Nationals need depth, but is he going to be chewing up a roster spot? And then, you know, to wrap it up here, Josiah Gray, a great tip of the hat to a guy that's put the work in, and we're just really happy to have him on the team. And I look forward to seeing how he's evolved this season. Listen, I want to thank you for joining me on this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, simulcast on the Believe in Nationals podcast feed. This is primarily an audio podcast, but from time to time, I will do it video. Make sure and check out the show wherever you find your podcasts and on YouTube. And also, once again, make sure and check out the sponsors of this show in SeatGeek. Listen, the national season is coming right around the corner, and why not take $20 off your first ticket purchase when you use promo code MINUTECAST at SeatGeek.com. All right, once again, I want to thank you for joining me on this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network, and I'll talk to you again next time.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.